The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. An angel, Gabriel, was sent from God to the town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled when he said this and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Mary, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and he shall be named Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How could this be, since I have no relations with man?" The angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to his will." And the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening, all. God is good. Welcome to the fourth Sunday of Advent. With Christmas right around the corner, it's Friday, as a matter of fact. And this homily should be maybe about Mary, because that's what the gospel is about. But since we had the same gospel for the Immaculate Conception, I'm going to do a little bit of tradition and repeat my fourth Sunday of Advent message about the 12 days of Christmas. Now, the 12 days of Christmas is probably the most misunderstood part of the Catholic Church. And Christians, who are part of this tradition, all see it in a different way. But contrary to popular belief, the 12 days of Christmas has nothing to do with the days before Christmas. Instead, the 12 days of Christmas are the 12 days after Christmas Day. And they start on Christmas Day, and the 12 days go to the Epiphany. The 12th day being the 5th of January, and the Epiphany is usually traditionally the 6th of January. In some traditions, they start counting on Christmas Day, and in some traditions, they start counting the day after Christmas. Either way, the 12th day is either January 5th or the Feast of the Epiphany. The origin of counting the 12 days is complicated. It's related to different calendars, different church traditions, and different ways of observing holy days in different cultures. In the Western Church, the Epiphany is usually celebrated when the wise men come to bring their gifts to the child Jesus. That's Matthew chapter 2. Traditionally, we think of them as three wise men, although the fact is that comes from the fact that there were three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But in reality, the Bible says nothing about how many wise men were in the party. And chances are the caravan had a lot more than just three wise men, or possibly even more, three kings. In some cultures, especially the Hispanic culture and Latin America, the sixth day is called the the Feast of the Three Kings, or Three Kings Day, or Fiesta de Reyes, or the Dia de los Tres Reyes. I apologize to the Spanish for my poor pronunciation. And there's a Dutch word in there too, but I can't pronounce it, so I'm not even going to try. Even though December 25th is celebrated as Christmas in our culture, in some cultures, Christmas isn't celebrated until January 6th, which is the Epiphany. And that is the day that presents are given. Actually, in some traditions, presents are given every day of the 12 days of Christmas, one per day, rather than all at once at Christmas Day like we do. The Eastern Orthodox Church does it completely different because they don't celebrate Christmas until what we call the Epiphany, January 7th, which is actually the day after our Epiphany. And their Epiphany is generally January 19th. So by the 16th century, the European and Scandinavian cultures combined the 12 days of Christmas into something more than that. And it was a celebration of different festivals from Christmas Day all the way to New Year's. And it had many different kinds of holidays, some of them pagan celebrations, kind of in between. But it all ended up on Twelfth Night. And Twelfth Night is usually the night, the eve before the Epiphany. And Twelfth Night is considered a feast day in many cultures. January 5th usually is Twelfth Night, with the Epiphany on January 6th. Twelfth Night also included in that festival is the removal of Christmas decorations. Yeah, not 26th of January of December, but the 6th of January is when we remove our Christmas decorations. And it depends on which Christmas you celebrate. Are you celebrating the Christian tradition, or are you celebrating the secular tradition? It's up to your family, I guess. In some cultures, king's cake is served at this feast. And if you remember, king's cake is the sweet cake that's served on the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday. But it's also eaten on the eve of the Epiphany. So the popular song, 12 Days of Christmas, is usually seen as simply a nonsense song for children with secular origins. However, some have suggested that this song has Christian instruction within it, and perhaps dating back to the 16th century when there were, in fact, Christian persecutions, there are hidden references within this song that are basically a mnemonic device to help teach children catechism. True love, mentioned in the song, is not a suitor, but in fact, it's God himself. The me in the song is every baptized Christian. And of course, the days represent the aspect of the Christian faith that we are reminded of. However, many have questioned the historical accuracy of this origin song, the 12 Days of Christmas, and have tried to debunk it as an urban myth out of personal agendas. Others have tried to deal with the account of the song's origin based on historical accuracy. If you do fact-checking, Snoops is a good place to go if you want to fact-check me. 12 Days of Christmas. But at any rate, little hard evidence is available to say one way or another. So with the absence of hard evidence, one way or another, we can kind of embrace this song as being our song and being our tradition. It is certainly possible, in fact, probable, that the view of the song legendary or anecdotal without collaboration and in the absence of substance evidence would probably be shown to be a rigid position. And many people take a rigid position on this. But either for or against it, it's really kind of a violation of the spirit of Christmas anyway. At any rate. So for the sake of historical accuracy, we need to acknowledge the likelihood that the song truly did have secular origins. Perhaps, when all is said and done, historical accuracy is not the point. Perhaps more important is that Christians can celebrate their rich heritage of God's grace, working through people in different avenues throughout the Christmas season. Now, when they hear what was once thought as a secular nonsense song, they will be reminded in one way or another of the grace of God working to transform his ways in our lives and in the world. After all, isn't that what Christmas is really all about? So here we go. I'm not going to sing it, but here we go. 12th day of Christmas, the 12 drummers drumming, not the apostles, but the 12 points of the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed. Belief in God, belief in Jesus, belief in the Creator, Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, descended into hell, third day rose again, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, come to judge the living and the dead. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Did you count them all? You didn't count them all? No. It's all right, it was more than 12, but it's okay. The 11th day of Christmas is 11 pipers piping. The 11 pipers piping are, in fact, the 11 faithful disciples. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the Lesser, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. Notice Judas Iscariot is not included. On the 10th day of Christmas, we have 10 Lords of Leaping. And of course, that's kind of an easy one. It's a reminder that we have the 10 commandments that we need to live by. And I'm not going to recite them for you. 9th day of Christmas, there's 9 ladies dancing. Who are these 9 ladies? Well, they're the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You can find that in Galatians chapter 5. On the 8th day of Christmas, we have 8 maids of milking. And of course, the 8 maids of milking are the 8 Beatitudes, the 8 rules that Jesus gave us to live by. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, the hunger, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those persecuted for righteousness' sake. The 7 days of Christmas could be multiple things, but the 7 swans of swimming could be the 7 sacraments, or it could be the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit: wisdom, understanding, fortitude, knowledge, piety, counsel, and fear of the Lord. The 6th day of Christmas are the 6 geese of laying, and the 6 days of creation are what those represent. Creation that we profess that God is creator and sustainer of the world. That's in Genesis. The 5 golden rings. Well, the 5 golden rings are the 5 books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, or we call it the Torah. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, which are the history of humanity's suffering and God's forgiveness of them. The 4 calling birds, that one should be kind of obvious: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The 3 French hens, the 3 theological virtues: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these, of course, is love. Where am I? I got lost. And then we're down to 2 turtle doves. And of course, the 2 turtle doves are the new and Old Testaments, are testaments of God's revelation in history and in the creation of the world. Finally, the partridge in the pear tree. The partridge in the pear tree is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross. The Son of God whose birthday we celebrate on the 25th of Christmas. Christ is symbolically presented as the partridge, which feigns injury to decoy predators from their helpless nestlings. Recalling the expression of Jesus' sadness over the fate of Jerusalem when he said, "Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how often would I have sheltered you under my arms as a hen does her chicks, but you have not had it so." That's from Luke chapter 13. And so we have it, the 12 days of Christmas, the pneumatic that has been brought down through the ages to entertain us and to help us remember who we are. And so we listen to the word, we grow in our faith, we pray and we gather with our families, our children, our loved ones, and whoever is in quarantine with us, hold hands and ask the Lord for thanks. Thanks for our health, thanks for our healing, thanks for our gifts, because we acknowledge that all things come from God. And so as we gather, no matter how horrible the 2020 year has been for us, no matter how much we've suffered, no matter how much we've lost, or whatever our station, we celebrate this Christmas with faith. Faith in God, hope for a better day, and love for our fellow man as Jesus commanded us. This is our goal. So Merry Christmas from all of us here at St. Joseph to all of you. God is good.